I'd like us for a few minutes to turn to the passage in Luke that we read, and I'd like us just to focus on verse 43 of Luke 23, where we read these well-known words, if we know our Bibles, spoken by Jesus to the penitent thief on the cross. Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." Now that was in response to the thief's request. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Verse 42. Well, we're here on a Lord's Day, and as God would have it, circumstances have brought me to be with you and your own ministers to go to Geiloch. We just don't know what happens, what's waiting for us around the corner. But wherever we are, whether we're in our own congregation or wherever we are, it's good that we can draw near to God to worship Him on His day. And of course, today for you, it's a communion Sunday. Now, I wasn't aware of that until your minister phoned me. So you'll take my apologies if I'm not with it altogether. But I know that the Lord will help us as we go through the service today. We thank Him for that. We thank Him that on this day, it's a reminder for us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we come to remember Him in His death. And it's one of these things that speaks to us. The cross of Jesus is a cross which speaks. It speaks loudly. And I'm not talking about the wooden structure on which the Lord was hung. As you probably know, Jesus spoke many a word from the cross. We read there in Luke's Gospel when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." And so on. There are in fact seven sayings that Jesus spoke from the cross. And it happens that this is one of them that we're looking at today. One of the words that Jesus spoke, one of the sayings that Jesus uttered from the cross. He also said, as I mentioned, "Father, forgive them." He spoke these words to the thief on the cross. He also spoke to his own mother, "Woman, behold your son," and to the others, to some of the disciples who were with her, "Behold your mother." And of course, the well-known words from Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He also said, "I am thirsty." He also said, "It is finished." And finally, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Now these are words spoken by Jesus on the cross. And it's amazing how each of these words is a way, as it were, not thinking of himself at all. The passage that we're looking at here in Scripture is very probably the most remarkable human conversation that ever took place in the world's history. A conversation between two men who were crucified. One of them a mere man, the other the God-man, Jesus Christ. And this conversation, recorded in the pages of Scripture for us, it's short, it's profound, but it's glorious in all its words. It is carried out in the most awful of circumstances, in the very place of violent, painful, physically painful, and for Jesus, spiritually painful, in the midst of execution. It's carried out in the most awful of circumstances for all individuals, for the convicted individuals who were there, but how much more so for the Lord Jesus, who was there for a different reason to the other two. It's a conversation which carries on beyond time, because it is the cross and all that happened on it, all that happened there at Calvary, it carries on with eternal significance. And the wonderful thing from it concerning us is that we can put ourselves in the place of any of these two thieves on the cross, and I hope particularly in the place of the penitent thief on the cross. So it gives the vilest sinner a listening ear. That thief was a vile sinner. That's what the Bible tells about each one of us, that we are deserving of God's judgment. And this man came to a realization that he was like that himself. He had a listening ear in Jesus. He had his mind enlightened to see a companion who really cares and who was able to save. And that's the Jesus who died on the cross for those who put their trust in him. For you and for me, he says to us, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Now, I've mentioned already one of the sayings that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." He was perhaps referring in the first instance to the Roman soldiers who were commissioned to carry out the execution. Perhaps we can just imagine the circumstances, the little that is recorded for us from the pages of Scripture. It was Friday morning, what we nowadays call Good Friday. It was a Friday morning. Jesus had been up all night, and during that time he had been subjected to mock trials and mockery. He had been whipped and scourged painfully. A crown of thorns had been placed on his head, and so on and so forth. He was made a laughing stock by those who were his judges and his executioners. Many a sermon has been preached on this passage with regard to the penitent thief on the cross. And there is more than one focal point we can legitimately take from these verses. For example, we could be looking at the people in verse 35. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. There are various groups of people there. I wonder if we're among them. Where are we? Where are we when we see Jesus on the cross? There are the soldiers mentioned in verse 36. And then when we come later on to the conversation, before that in verse 32, we're introduced to the fact that two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. Let's just do a quick survey of what we know about this penitent thief. The two thieves are very similar in character at the outset. They're both grouped together. Two other men, both criminals. They were also led out with him for execution. They don't have a name. They're just two criminals. They're not even given the dignity of their names being recorded here in Scripture, because they were unknowns. They were just common thieves, common criminals. They had probably been sentenced under the law of the time. His life in the world, this penitent thief, his life seems to have left him on the wrong side of the law of the land. As I've just said, he was a thief and had been brought to the harsh, under the harsh justice of the Roman law, which was the law of the land at the time, the place being under Roman rule. Stealing, it would appear, was a capital crime at that point. That sounds harsh to us, perhaps. But more importantly, this thief was no different from you and me before God. And that's the relationship that really matters. It's very well for us to be in an upright relationship with our land, the people of the land and the laws of the land. But where are we before God? He needed God in his life, just as you and I need God in our lives. So he was a sinner. That makes us just like him. So we can't be saying, I'm not as bad as that. I don't deserve what this man deserved. What we deserve is what Jesus bore on the cross for us. That's what we deserve, as every sinner deserves. He was a sinner like all of us, and he was just as rebellious as his colleague. Matthew's account, which we read earlier on, indicates that both thieves joined in the mocking conspiracy against Jesus on the cross. And it's easy for us to condemn this man, isn't it? Ourselves, for what he had done and what he kept on doing, even in the throes of death by crucifixion. But our attention must turn away from the thief. It's important to see his circumstances, his situation. And from Luke's account, a change took place in this man's attitude towards Jesus and even towards his own circumstances. A change of attitude, a change of focus. That's what needs to happen to you and to me if we are to be saved people. God has to make that change in us. And I believe that the penitent thief on the cross, God used these difficult, hard circumstances to bring him closer to a realization of his own need, and also, even literally, closer to Jesus. What we need to do is to be brought closer to the suffering Christ on the cross to see the needs that we have. In my place, writes the hymn writer, condemned he stood. Sometimes we need to think about ourselves and our circumstances, and especially when our lives are perhaps, when we're coming to the sunset time of our lives, we have to ask ourselves, how long do I have? And where am I before God? Where is my standing? Well, this man had greater needs now than he ever did. That's the way it seemed. His life, as it were, was flashing before his face, because he was under crucifixion. It's very easy for me to just to glibly say that. But his agony must have been huge. The pains, the physical agony. His previous life probably flashed in front of him, as we say. He was brought to prayer in his desperation. And in effect, he was calling to Jesus on the cross, Lord, save me. It's as though he's come to a realization of the fact that he needs to be saved. And this is what I want to look at now, what he said to Jesus. We don't know very much about him in his background. All we know is that he was condemned to death because he had broken the civil law of the land. But now, he's coming to judgment. He's coming to the end of his own life. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And it's interesting that he addressed Jesus as Jesus. He didn't cite any part of his life to merit that remembrance for which he prayed. He needed a savior, and he recognized one in the man with a capital M, Jesus, the God-man, beside him, the crucified Lord. We read that Jesus was crucified between them. He needed a savior, and he recognized the savior in the man, Jesus. And it wasn't any other name. He could have called him by Messiah or something like that, a Jewish title that was given to Jesus. But no, he addressed him in this way, Jesus. And it's as though he's saying, I need a savior. What was Jesus called when he was a baby? He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, Savior. It's the same word we have in the Old Testament, the word Joshua. is the Jesus of the New Testament. There seems to be an implication of fearing God in this man's life in contrast with the other thief. Look at what it says in verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. What does that indicate about the penitent thief? There was the fear of God coming into his experience. Don't you fear the judgment that you deserve from God because of your sins? In verse 41 he says, "We are punished justly." Now there's a huge depth in these words. We are punished justly. We hear about Jesus and read about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross as the just for the unjust, the righteous for the righteous. And on two accounts, we know that Jesus was punished unjustly. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, referring to Jesus, has done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. And that's the wonder of God's provision in Christ Jesus for us, in the words of the penitent thief. This man has done nothing wrong. And yet, as the hymn writer puts it, "In my place condemned he stood." And I would like to believe, although it's not recorded for us, that this is the thought that was going through the mind of the penitent thief at the time. Not only was he aware of his deserving of punishment under the law of the land, but he came to a realization of his deserving of punishment from God because of his own sin. And it is for that reason, and for that reason alone, that he would have said, with an enlightened mind, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." We don't know what understanding the penitent thief had of that kingdom. But he also knew Jesus was innocent of any crime. There was a vivid awareness of wrongdoing and deserving of punishment. But Jesus, innocent of everything that man, the devil, or the whole universe would accuse him of. This man has done nothing wrong. This man to whom he was referring is the unspotted, unblemished Lamb of God, whom God provided to take away your sins and mine. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And the guilt that Jesus was bearing was not only, he was bearing guilt, false guilt from the hands of men, but in God's mysterious way, he was indeed bearing the guilt of the world. He was bearing the guilt of God's people. He was bearing guilt of the world of men from all ages. He was bearing the guilt that we are, that is attributed to us because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. His guilt was not his own, but that of others, one of which was to be this very thief. And then he prays, "Remember me, don't forget me, don't be oblivious to my need." His understanding of what was meant by Jesus being king perhaps wasn't that clear in his mind. But whatever the kingdom was to be, he wanted to be part of it. He wanted to have Jesus as his king. If he's referring to a kingdom, there has to be a king of the kingdom. And what he's saying to Jesus is, "Remember me. I want you to be my king." What about you today? Do you want Jesus to be your king? And it doesn't need to be the 11th hour for you before you make that request of the Lord. "Come into my life, Lord. Take my life over. Be king of my life." And perhaps there was a measure of regret in this man's life Perhaps he was reflecting on the barbarity of his life before, the violence of his life, the injustice that he himself had dealt out to others, whom he had robbed, whom he had denied what rightfully belonged to them. Jesus, he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus heard. Jesus still hears. Jesus listened. And Jesus promised. What a wonderful thing took place on the cross of Calvary. From Jesus, even in his own suffering, for sinners like you and for me. He forgot about himself. He didn't care about himself to that extent at this moment. Jesus' concern was for the penitent thief on the cross, as so often happened in his sayings from the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Jesus replies to him in these words, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now there's a lot I could say about this, but I'm just going to mention one or two things. It's a word from him with a capital H, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is dying, the living word from the dying word. Isn't that a wonderful thing that Jesus in his dying gives us living words? And that's what you and I need. We need to hear what Jesus says. In this case, prayer was answered immediately for the thief, the penitent thief. He was in desperation when he asked Jesus to remember him. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. It was, in a sense, that the kingdom of God had already come, and Jesus was at a stage in making that kingdom overcome the powers of darkness. And when Jesus would utter his last words, he would go to the paradise of God. And when this man's soul left his body, the thief, his soul would also go to be with Christ in paradise. Well, I believe that in our most desperate situations, as this thief was, God hears and answers our prayers. This man was absolutely empty of himself, the thief. He was empty of, and he had nothing to hang on to. He was hung himself. And just for us, Jesus was hung there too, for him. Yes, it was late in his life, before he made that prayer. But God hears 11th hour prayers, just as he hears early prayers. The Bible tells us always to seek the Lord while he is to be found, not to leave it till the last minutes, not to leave it until the sun is setting in our lives, not to leave it because we don't know what the future holds for us. But it's never too late for God to respond and to act. It's too late for me now to hope that God would listen to me. That thought didn't come into his mind at all. And if God is saying that to you, that it's too late, you left it too late, don't listen to that. It's a satanic attack on us. And it's a denial of what God can do for us. He is able to save to the furthermost, to the uttermost, all who would come to him through Christ. Truly, I tell you, it's a word of insurance. Truly, verily, verily, absolutely, I tell you. Jesus assured him of his mindfulness, his care, his love. He wasn't too trivial a soul to be remembered. And neither are you nor I today. And that's the wonder of the grace of God. The grace of God is what is magnified through all of what is going on here. This is grace abounding for the chief of sinners. This is to show him and us to show the thief and us that God is able to save completely. I like a phrase that was once used by a commentator: from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's you and me being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is to show him and us that God is able to save us completely today. Today, if you will hear my voice, God is saying, don't harden your hearts. Today, there will be no delay. There will be no obstacle. Not even death itself will deny this thief the salvation he craved from the King of Glory. Tells us something about Jesus' whereabouts after he gave up his physical life. Today, paradise. Today, into the blissful presence of God. And it speaks of an eternal today, an ever presence where time and all its relativity will be no more. Not today only. Today you will be with me in paradise. And that's a continuous thought for the thief on the cross. Today and forever I will save you. With Jesus after his own death means heaven for his soul and for the souls who die believing in him. Jesus went to heaven when he died. His hell for us was when he suffered on the cross, forsaken of God, an eternity of suffering by the eternal person of God the Son. And it wasn't truly, I say to you today, it was today you will be with me in paradise. It wasn't just saying to him there and then, as mistakenly some commentators, some translators do it. It's today, comma, you will be with me in paradise. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. In paradise, mentioned two other times in Scripture. Paradise was the Garden of Eden, which we forfeited through the fall of Adam. It's one place, it's heaven, with me in paradise. You know, what makes paradise what it is? It's the presence of Jesus. The psalmist reflected on this when he spoke in Psalm 16, when he said, In your presence there is fullness of joy, at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Paul said that to be with Jesus is far better than remaining in this world. And of course, this episode, it emphasizes God's grace. And as I bring this meditation to a conclusion, it tells us that we have grace today and paradise is promised tomorrow. What a wonderful thought is. The thief, at this point in his life, he was about to die. He had a short future on earth. And yet, his penitent life, short though it was, speaks volumes to us today as he converses with the Lord Jesus. He died for him. Jesus died for him. If Jesus died, did he die for you? You have to make your calling and your election sure. And God tells you that, offers you the merits of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust that God would continue to bless us as we come now to seek him at the table as he promised to be with us.